You're listening to a Sunlife podcast. We pray you'll be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
Anyhow, my name is Bin, and I'm the pastor of Sunlife Church, and it's good to have you all here this morning. For those who have been with us, last week we started a new series from the book of what? Can someone tell me? Romans, that's right. And this morning, what we're doing is we're going to continue on chapter 1, and we'll be looking at verses 8 to 17. And it's so fitting because this morning's sermon, in a way, is an encouragement for us all to keep up gospel proclamation. And it's so fitting because it's the morning where we get to pray for Phil and Irene as they head back home East Asia to do the wonderful work over there. It's not only a message for them, but a message for us all to keep preaching the gospel, keep proclaiming the gospel until the day the Lord takes us home or when He returns. That's where we're at this morning here. And I want you to get your Bible out with me. Go straight to Romans chapter 1, verses 8 to 17. I'm going to pray, and we'll get straight to the text. Lord, I pray now that you help me to bring your word to your people. I pray that they will hear your voice and not mine. I pray, Spirit, that you would just begin to speak to us and challenge us to keep living a life of proclaiming the gospel. Oh Lord, open our ears, open our hearts to hear you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I titled the sermon, Why Share the Gospel? In other words, why must there be a desire to proclaim the good news? Last week I spent half an hour talking about the good news. And I want to talk about why this is so important. And I believe there are three motivations, three reasons why. The encouragement by conversion. That's the first thing. The debt to the nations. That's the second point. And finally, the power of God for salvation. There are the three motivations, three reasons why there must be this eagerness, this desire for us to proclaim the good news. All right? The first point, encouragement by conversion. Let me ask you some question. The context here. Paul is writing this letter to Christians where? In Rome. And that's in which? What country? Italy? Yep. He's writing this letter most likely from where? Which country? In did you guys listen last week? In Corinth, good. In Corinth, that's in where? Greece, right? He intends to visit Rome, but his final destination is where? Spain. Is that right? So he's in Greece. He's heard about these Christians in Italy, Rome. And for some reason, the news has gotten to him. He's hearing about new believers. Remember, he did not plant this church. They were not his disciples, right? He wasn't involved in their conversion. But he's heard news that somewhere in that part of the world, in Italy, Rome, there are all these Christians. They're meeting Jesus. Their lives have been transformed. They're falling in love with God. And it gets to him, and he's so excited, he's so encouraged. He wants to see them. Look in verses 8 to 10. I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is being reported all over the world. God, whom I serve in my spirit in preaching the gospel of his Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last my God's will, the way, may be open for me to come to you. Can you see that? He's hearing that there are these new converts in Rome, and he is so excited. He is so encouraged. It didn't matter who preached the gospel to them. As long as the gospel message got to them, they met Jesus, their lives would transform, and it gets to Paul, and Paul's like, I can't believe it. This is great news. I'm so encouraged that there are Christians over there and I can't wait to meet them. So what does he do? He starts praying to God the Father. God, I am so thankful for these new converts. that it brings such joy in my heart that there are new Christians there. I'm so glad that the gospel got to the people over there, and I'm rejoicing, God. And I am praying in verse 10 that you open the door that I may visit them. Can you see that in the text? I really want to go there and see how they're going. I want to encourage them. I want to visit them because I'm hearing good things, good reports that throughout the whole Mediterranean world, everyone's talking about their faith. Everyone's saying that these Christians in Rome, they're loving Jesus. I want to visit them. I want to encourage them. Look in verses 11 and 12. I long to see you. So this is Paul saying to the Romans, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. There's a gift. Paul says, I have a spiritual gift that I want to give to you. We don't know what the gift is, but we all know what a gift is, right? A gift is something that you hold to give to someone else. Is that right? You don't keep the gift for yourself. I mean, I'm pretty sure during the week, some of you had gifts to give to people. Long stem red roses. Is that right? You had them in your hand for a short period of time, but you had to give it to some. Maybe a box of chocolate. Is that right? You gave it to someone. Yeah, Valentine's. Is that right? And my wife, that night, she asked me, implying, was there a gift? She said, honey, do you know it's Valentine's today? And I must be honest, I must confess, and she knows this is true. I was so busy that I totally forgot about it. And I said to Tran, I thought it was tomorrow. And the day after that, because every day with you is my Valentine's. How good is your pastor, huh? How good is that? Phew, I escaped there. But people are expecting to receive something on that special day. So when you have a gift, you don't hold it to yourself. You pass it on. And Paul says right here, I have a gift. I want to give that to you to make you strong. A gift that would encourage you to keep up the faith. And you notice in the text that Paul is also looking forward to give them the gift so that he too would be encouraged. It's like it's mutual. I will encourage you because of the gospel and your faith, your conversion, and you encourage me. Let me say this to you, that when we share the good news, when we share the gospel message, we are encouraged, and the people around us are also encouraged. There's this mutual encouragement that takes place when you share the gospel. Vic Nash, when you came up to receive Jesus, it encouraged me, and encouraged all these people here. Because there's this wonderful thing about people meeting Jesus Christ, receiving Jesus as their Lord. It encourages everyone. And that's why we should do it. Because it's good for us, because it encourages us. And it's good for the people around us, because it encourages them. You notice when we have baptisms. I love the baptism service. Because we are so encouraged when someone would share their story. And say, hey, this is who I was before I met Jesus. And this is who I am today. I'm totally transformed because of the gospel, and it encourages everyone. Notice how I always get the little kids to come in during baptism. They're sitting there, they're watching people getting dunked in the pool or the spa, because I want them to also be encouraged that there are people who've met Jesus Christ. There is such encouragement when we share the gospel. And I want to encourage you, Sun Life Church, that as you begin to share the gospel message to the people around you, let your family and friends know. Let us know. Don't tell us, you know, that it's so hard that they haven't met Jesus yet. I don't want to hear that. Just tell us that we're trying our best to share them the good news. Because as you begin to share that with us and your leaders and in your small groups and your connect group, it will encourage everyone in this church. And as we're encouraged, we'll encourage you. And on that day, if they do meet Jesus, and they say yes to Jesus, share it with us. Share it with the world. Let everyone be encouraged. Because I tell you right now, there is such encouragement when conversion takes place. Share it. And in your sharing, may it spur on one another here. That we want to say, I want to share the message. I want to get out there and share the gospel. I want to also encourage my fellow Sun Lifers and saints at Sun Life Church. Amen. We've got to keep that up. I know that there's some of you in this church here that you're here, and I thank God that you're still here and you're still trying to figure out this thing called Christianity and the gospel. Keep coming. Every time I stand before you, I'm always thinking of you. And I'm praying for you, and I'm praying for the day that you would meet Jesus. And let me say, on that day when you do meet Jesus, I tell you right now, not only there'll be joy in your heart, but there'll be joy in my heart and the heart of all those here. There'll be such encouragement. That is a motivation why you and I should be proclaiming the gospel, because God encourages us, and God will use our act of evangelism to encourage the people around us. Amen. Keep at it, Sun Life Church. Don't be content. Don't hold that gift to yourself. Get out there and share the good news to as many people as possible. And may God encourage you and those around you. And may this church be encouraged to know that everyone here, we're trying our best to proclaim the good news. That is a motivation why we should share the gospel message. Amen. Number two, debt to the nations. Notice in verse 14 and 15, I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome. Can you see in the text how Paul is so eager to get out there to preach the good news? He wants to preach the good news to those in Rome. They're already Christians, but he still wants to remind them of the gospel. And he's probably also thinking about the non-Christian as well. He can't wait to get over there to preach the gospel message. And the eagerness, my friend, is rooted in an obligation. Look in verse 14. I'm obligated. Some translation, you might say, I'm under an obligation, or I am bound. Other translation will be, I'm a debtor. I have a debt to pay. And I think that's a better translation, because the Greek talks about a debt that Paul has to pay. Now let me explain this to you. When we think of a debt, we think of borrowing money. Is that right? Let's say I borrowed $100,000 off you to buy a car or an extension to the house. I am in debt to you until the day I pay back that $100,000. Is that right? As long as I'm still owing you money, I'm in debt to you. Is that correct? That's one way of understanding it. Another way of understanding it is this, is that someone gives me $100,000, that's not mine, and that money belongs to you. So someone gives me $100,000 and says, Ben, you've got to give the money to the people here. I'm now in debt to you until the day I give you or hand over the $100,000. Is that right? Is that right? That's true, hey? So I'm in debt to you. Obviously, Paul did not borrow money or borrow anything from the Romans, because he's never been there. He's never met them before. All right? But he has something wonderful that is not his, that he's in debt to them. God has entrusted him with something so wonderful, something so great that came from God for him. And Paul saw that he has a debt to the nations to bring the good news to all the people of the world. Now can you see the intensity of Paul saying, I can't wait to get out there, because what I'm holding, God has entrusted with me. It's not mine, it's yours. I've got to get it to you, and I can't wait to get it to you. That's why I'm eager to visit you in Rome. That's why I want to preach the gospel message. God has entrusted me with this wonderful gift, and I can't stay here. I've got to go around the world and share it, because there's a debt to the nations. Do you understand that? 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2, if we go there, Paul, he says this, this then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mystery God has revealed. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. You see that? He says, hey, God has entrusted us with this mystery, this gospel. And we have to be faithful to get it out there. We have a debt to the nations. That is so important for us to understand. A few years ago, I promised some Christian pastors up in Sapa, which is in the highlands of Vietnam, bordering Vietnam and China, South China. They're very, very poor people up there. And I promised them, I said, hey, you know what? We're going to come over. We're going to build some shower blocks, toilets, water wells, And I said, it's going to cost around probably $10,000. And I said to him, you know, we're going to come over and we're going to bring that money to you. I remember on the plane carrying $10,000 cash. Now, I didn't declare it because I was told that it was more than $10,000 you have to declare. Is that right? So I was right at the threshold. I think that's right. But I didn't declare it. I kind of kept it quiet. I wasn't smuggling anything over. So I had $10,000 in my pocket, and I was like, you know, I can't lose this because this is not my money. This is for the people up in Sapa, Vietnam. So I've got to hold this. I've got to guard this. And I made sure that this amount of money went towards them to build their water well, showers, toilets. I was in debt to the community up in Sapa. When I got there, I passed them the money. They bought all the raw materials. We started to build or what we had to do. Friends, family, we have a debt to the nations. There's an obligation for each and every one of us. Every one of us. God has entrusted us with this great message, the good news. That is a motivation for us to get out there to preach the gospel. You notice how Paul would say in Romans 14, he would say this, that I'm obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks. See, both to the wise and to the foolish. It's wonderful because when he talks about Greeks, he's talking about the Greek culture. Because remember, these guys are Italians in Rome, right? But the Greek culture in those days was the culture. That part of the world, that Mediterranean part of the world, was influenced by the Greek culture. That's why the New Testament was written in the Greek. Even the Old Testament was later translated into the Greek, even though it was written in the Hebrews. The Greek culture was the culture. Anywhere you went in that part of the world, you would see Greek buildings and Greek architectural designs, pillars and arches. And the Greek culture was all about boasting and knowledge and wisdom and philosophy and sophistication. All right? And he would say that I am obligated to the Greeks and the non-Greeks. You see, the non-Greeks were people who were trying very hard to embrace the Greek culture. They were trying very hard to learn the Greek language. And they probably couldn't speak it fluently. All right? And the Greek words for non-Greeks in the Bible was the word barbarios, which means barbarian. All right? Barbarians. So in other words, you had these Greek people looking down on these non-Greeks saying, tryhards, barbarians. You can't even speak our language. You're trying really hard to embrace our culture. You don't have an original Greek. And Paul says, no. I'm obligated to preach to the Greek and the non-Greeks. To the, what he says right there? To the wise and to the foolish. I love that. Because what he's saying is that what God has entrusted in me, I don't discriminate. It's for everyone. I don't care who you are, this is a message for you. The educated, the uneducated, the wise, the foolish, the rich, the poor. It doesn't matter because this message here that God has given me is for everyone. And that's a message that God has given you and I. And that's why I love Phil and Irene. Because we're going to pray for you guys later on. But you've got that wonderful treasure that God has given you, that God has placed in your heart, that God has entrusted you to share to the people over there. They're not Australians, they don't look like us, they don't speak our language, they don't have our culture. But hey, the gospel, there's no barrier. It's for everyone. And that's for you and I. Because God may not call us into mission. God may say, your mission field is here. Perth is your mission field. You have an obligation, there's a debt to the city of Perth. What are you doing about it? Are you sharing the gospel message? Are you getting out there sharing to the educated, the uneducated, the wise, the foolish? Or are you only selecting a few that you're sharing? Have you already discriminated them and said, you know what, I don't want to share it with you because you are not like me. You don't look like me. Or you're saying, no, I share this to everyone. I have a debt to the city. I have a debt to this nation and to the nations of this world. And I will share the gospel message to everyone. God has entrusted us with this wonderful good news. May we get out there and share it. I love it how Paul, the same author, in 1 Corinthians 9, he would say that, you know, he made himself a slave to win many. You know, he became a Jew to win the Jew. He became weak to win the weak. He became all things to all men so that he could win as many possible back to the Lord. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say, yes, thank you that you've entrusted me with this good news, and there's a debt to the nations. I will get out there and I will preach the gospel message. I have this eagerness to leave this morning service, to get out there to share the good news to as many people as possible. Because I don't know when he's coming home. I don't know when he's taking me home. But I want to evacuate hell, and I want to saturate heaven with as many people as possible. There's a debt to the nations. God has entrusted us with the good news. May that motivate us to get out there and share it. All right? Finally, the motivation that the power of God for salvation. There is so much I could say right here. These last two verses are so much. I could probably preach three sermons here, but I'm going to try to condense this and pack this down, and I want you to discuss this in your small group. But look in verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to anyone who believes, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. He says, I'm not ashamed. I'm not embarrassed of the gospel message. And there's a reason why Paul would say this. Because there were Christians in Rome questioning, how come it's taken you so long to come here? Why have you taken so long to bring the gospel message to this part of the city, this part of the world, sorry? Because remember, Rome, understand this, it was like the capital city of the world, of the Gentile world. It was the Big Apple. It was New York City. This was where you had the top philosophers and the top educators and the top orators and professors. This place here, you could not pull the wool over one's eye here. And there were certain people saying to Paul, Paul, is that the reason why you've taken so long to come here? You're preaching the gospel message to the country folks, to the small villages and small cities. Are you intimidated to come to Rome where it's the Big Apple? I mean, can your message really mix it with the best of them? Some of the people were challenging his credibility. Boy, are you really embarrassed? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Is that the reason why you've taken so long? If you read verse 13 now carefully, you understand the context of verse 13. Go with me, Romans 1:13. He says this, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that I have planned many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now, in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. That's a defensive tone that we don't see in the English, but in the Greek, that's a defensive tone. He's saying, I want you to understand this, that I really want to go there, but I'm busy doing work in Eastern Mediterranean. There's still stuff that I need to do here, and I finished that, and now I'm going to Western Mediterranean, Spain. So I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and then I'm going to visit you on my way to Spain. In fact, go with me to Romans 15, 22 onwards. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Can you see that? He's saying, I want to come see you. There's work to be done in this part of the world. I've finished. And now I'm going to the West. And on my way to the West, I'm going to drop by and say hi. And may you encourage me and may I encourage you. The context for verse 16 of chapter 1 is Paul is saying, I'm not ashamed. Don't you dare think that I'm ashamed or embarrassed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the good news. If someone asked you, Sun Life Church, what was the highlight of your weekend? What would you say? If you went to work tomorrow and someone said, hey, what was the highlight of your weekend? What would you say? Yeah, I watched the mighty Frio Dockers thrash the weasel. Yeah, maybe that was the highlight. And amen for that. You know, I witnessed my kid score his first soccer goal. That could have been your highlight. Or I went to a 30th and had a great time. It was a surprise party. That may be your highlight. Or I caught that perfect wave down at Cot Beach. Or would you say that the highlight of your weekend was I went to church? I went to church and I worshipped the risen Jesus with other Christians. Would you say that? Would you say that you came here as the highlight of your weekend, that you worshipped this Jesus who's alive with other Sun Lifers, and you heard the pastor remind you of the gospel message? Would you say that was your highlight? Let's be honest. We don't do that. There's this stigma associated when every time we bring in religion or the gospel or Jesus to the office conversation. We don't say that. Why is that so? Why? Can I be honest? Because the gospel is very offensive, isn't it? The gospel is very offensive. I mean, the gospel is the claim that Jesus died for your sins and my sins. That's very offensive. That Jesus forgives us. That Jesus is alive. That Jesus allows us to be in relationship with God, the Father, the God of the universe. There's only one way to God. Not Buddha, not Muhammad, not Krishna. Jesus, that's offensive. Let's be honest here. It's a claim that says that we're all sinners. I mean, we don't want to think that we're sinners. That we need a savior. We need someone to rescue us. I mean, who wants to admit that they're in desperate need of saving? That we are saved by God, we are saved from God, and we're saved for God. That's so offensive. Is that the reason why we don't share the gospel message? Because we're afraid that we may offend someone? Or we're ashamed? We're embarrassed of the gospel message? Friends, let me say this, that when you share the gospel message that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is the only way to the Father, I guarantee you people will look down upon you. People will think that you're crazy. People will say things about you behind your back. People will judge you. Shame will come your way. Persecution will come your way. Hardship will come your way. But may you never ever be ashamed. May you never ever be embarrassed. I'm not saying to you that there will be no shame. I'm saying to you there will be shame, but may you never be ashamed. That you say, I'm not embarrassed. I'm not embarrassed. Jesus Christ says this in Luke 9:26, whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory and in the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Don't be ashamed of him. Don't be ashamed of the gospel message. And let me give you a reason why we should never be ashamed. Because it is the power of God for salvation. Look in verse 16 again. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. There is power. The very words which we share, the good news which we share, which may seem very foolish, are the same words that God would use to bring power to save people. There is power here. God will take people from darkness and bring them to light. God will take me from death and give them life. Do not let the present shame influence the future hope for someone who's listening. You know, Jesus Christ, we are told in Hebrews 12, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, our Lord Jesus Christ, he was looking eternally and saw the joy of people being saved, and he took on the shame. So for you and I, when shame comes our way, have your eyes fixed in eternity. And look at the possible hope that someone may receive if they believe in Jesus Christ. Keep at it. Don't be ashamed. Don't be embarrassed. Keep your eyes fixed on eternity. And keep believing that as they hear the message, God can use his power to save them. And they can enjoy that hope with you in eternity future. Keep your eyes beyond the present shame and look at the future hope that God has for someone who needs to hear the gospel message. There is power. There is power in the words which may seem foolish to the people of this world. Shame will come your way, but don't be ashamed. Keep preaching it. Keep sharing it and believe that God will use those words to save people. And I love it that every time you share the gospel, God's righteousness is revealed. Look at verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. What does this mean? This is so important. That when you share the gospel message, the righteousness of God is revealed. And we have a problem. Listen very carefully. I don't want to lose anyone here. The problem is this. That when you share God's righteousness, it reveals our unrighteousness. And when you share God's righteousness, God demands righteousness. That's a problem. Are you with me? Because as you share the gospel message, people realize that God is so righteous and that the listener or we all are unrighteous. But the wonderful thing about the gospel is in the gospel, God gives us his righteousness. Therefore, what we cannot obtain, what is humanly impossible for us to have, God gives it to us. God gives us his righteousness so that we are no longer unrighteous and we are today righteous before him. That's the wonderful good news. That is so important for us to understand that. Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. As you share the good news, God's righteousness is revealed. And in God's righteousness, he demands righteousness. Something that you and I would never, ever be able to obtain. But the gospel message is that he gives us his righteousness. He puts it on us. Jesus does that for us. Therefore, we stand right before him. That's good news. That's the gospel, isn't it? That we do nothing. He's done everything for us. Let me finish with this story. Tim Keller from New York, he shared this story some 10 years ago. There's a TV series called NCSI. It's one of those TV series. And in one of the episodes, there's this very old, retired ex-Marine. He's in his 80s, and he's accused of murder. So anyhow, I'm not quite sure, the judges or the persecutors, the special agents, they come to arrest this old man. And as they're arresting him, because he's accused of murder, the old man's friend moves his tie aside. And behind his tie is this Medal of Honor. Now, the Medal of Honor is like the top medal, like our Victorian Cross medal, that is given to a soldier through the act of bravery. So this Marine here was given this Medal of Honor. And as this Medal of Honor was revealed, these special agents instantly, immediately dropped their hands, saluted this ex-Marine. There was such awe and such honor that they were in the presence of this wonderful recipient of the Medal of Honor. See, in a way, the cross of Jesus Christ, when he died for us on the cross, when he took our place, he died the death that we ought to die. You and I, we are covered with his medals. We are covered with his glory. We are covered with his bravery. We are covered with his honor. We are covered with him. The gospel message is a message that when God looks at us, he sees these medals that Christ has won for us. And it's on each and every one of us. We are righteous. The righteousness of God is placed upon us. Therefore, today there is no fear when we stand before God. There is no fear because we belong to him. He has placed his righteousness, the righteousness revealed upon you and I. That's the gospel message. There's power to save people. What may seem foolish, there is power. May that be a motivation for you and I to keep sharing the gospel. Martin Luther. If you know Martin Luther, it was this particular verse, Romans 1:17, which totally changed him. And I quote Luther, "You mean the righteousness by which I will be saved is not mine? You mean it's not mine? And when I discovered that I was born again of the Holy Ghost and the doors of paradise swung open and I walked through." For some of you this morning, let me say, God has done everything to save you. Everything. The medals of Christ is upon you. Not your righteousness. Not what you must do, but what He's already done for you. And the door of heaven is open. Will you walk through it? Will you walk through it? Will you say, "Yes, I walk through it. I've worked so hard to try to obtain this righteousness which I can never obtain. But today I've realized He did it all. I want to walk through it." Maybe for some of you this morning, you haven't shared the gospel message because you've been quite ashamed. You're quite embarrassed. Is God telling you this morning, don't be ashamed. There's encouragement. There's such encouragement. Oh, there's a debt that you owe to the world. And there's power. Power of God to save those who are willing to believe. Amen. All eyes closed. Let me pray. Let me challenge you this morning. I don't know whether there's anyone here this morning that you need Jesus in your life. I don't know whether there are some of you who have Jesus in your life, but you've been working so hard to get that medal on you. And this morning you have been reminded that Jesus has done all the work to place the medal on you. May that be a motivation for you to proclaim the gospel. So my challenge to you this morning is this. If you have been ashamed of the gospel, if you have been embarrassed with the gospel, can you pray to God now? Can you just tell Him, "Lord, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Would you help me? Would you help me?" Can you just spend time praying to God right now? Just tell Him. That's why mission is so important to us at Sun Life Church. Mission is so important because we want to get out there and share the gospel message to as many people as possible. And I pray that we'll be a community that would share the gospel message always. May those three motivations remind you throughout this week, throughout this year, throughout your life, to see the urgency to get the gospel message out there. Lord, would you bless us as a church as we do our best to share your message to the people around us? Lord, may we never be ashamed of the gospel. May we never be ashamed of you. May we never be embarrassed of the good news, God. May we be people who walk and live courageously to proclaim your good news, Lord. Lord, will you use us to see more people saved? Will you use us to draw more people back to you, God? God, I give you praise that you would use people like us, that you would entrust us with this wonderful good news. And I pray, God, that you would inspire us, would you empower us, God, enable us to get out there and share the gospel message to all, God, until the day you return or the day you take us home. God, we don't want to be content. We don't want to be easygoing Christians. We want to be courageous Christians getting out there, sharing the good news to everyone, Lord. Lord, we know that every people that we meet, Lord, that's a divine opportunity, a divine appointment you've placed on our path to see people come to know you. Would you give us the courage and the boldness, Lord? May we never be ashamed. May we realize in what may be foolish to this world, it is the power of God to bring salvation for those who believe. So, Lord, I thank you so much. I thank you so much. In your name, we pray. Amen.